Hello, everybody. Pete here. You're listening to the Do You Even Blog podcast. That's what my three-year-old calls it, the podcast. Anyways, it's a show for bloggers and podcasters who want to make money on the internet. No interviews for you today, and instead I will be hopping into my voicemails. But before I do, I'll remind you that you can actually leave me your own voicemail, right? doyouevenblog.com/voicemail. And there's also a link in each of the podcast episode descriptions below this podcast and your podcast player of choice. You'll find a link right there. You're welcome to point me to your URL. Include that there. I'll go take a look, answer your questions, yada, yada. And then every couple of months, I like to answer some voicemails. So some good stuff for you today. Just a few. I'm going to talk about new visitors versus returning visitors, how to look at that balance and, you know, try and get repeat visitors to your blog. And then talk about, you have email subscribers coming in. What do you send them? Oh my gosh, email marketing. Okay. I'm ready to jump on this board, this train, but OMG, what do I send them? All right, so let's jump in right now.
Hi, Pete. This is Rachel. I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. My website is rachelwhatif.com. I finally have some email subscribers because I created a free lead magnet. And my question is, what's next? Do I create more lead magnets? Do I do something with my email subscribers to keep them interested? I'm just not sure. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you so much for your voicemail question there, Rachel. My first part of this answer is actually a cop-out. I'm actually going to point you to a podcast episode I released just a couple of weeks ago about your welcome series and some ideas of what you might say. So before we talk about your existing email subscribers that you've been collecting, we'll talk about that in a second and part two of this answer. Part one would just be to implement using whatever email tool you are using. You can do this in all of them. A very simple welcome sequence. I would personally just start off with one email a week for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And here are the emails I would probably write. You said you already have a lead magnet. I'd probably give away the lead magnet, like give them the link to download it, tell them how to use it if necessary. Just dedicate that very first email, once I sign up, to delivering the email lead magnet and helping them use it. Now, after that, wait a couple of days or wait a week, it's up to you. I would tell your story as it pertains to your niche, your topic. I talked about this a few weeks ago. You can check out that podcast for more, but I would tell your story and why you're doing what you do. And then in a separate email, that could even take two emails right there, but in a separate email, I would actually say, welcome to XYZ blog, whatever the name of your thing is. Here's what I'm about. Basically, what you're doing is helping your new subscriber determine, is this for me? Or is this not for me? RachelWhatIf.com, is this for me? Do I care about this? Like, why should I open Rachel's emails going forward? Is this person going to help me with what I want help with? Qualify them. Tell them, who is it for? This is for you if da-da-da-da-da. If you're interested in da-da-da-da-da, this is for you, right? Tell them your mission statement if you want to. Dive into why you started your blog and you started your email list. Just tell them who they are. If you want to learn more about blogging and podcasting and online business, side hustles on the internet, follow Do You Even Blog. This is what I'm about. Everything I send on this newsletter is going to help you, online business guru, right? Or at least that's an example from my own business. And one of the last things I think you can send people, especially in a welcome sequence, is some of your best content. You could do a simple one email roundup of like, here are my top three pieces of content that you might enjoy. 1, 2, 3. Or you could spread this out over a couple of weeks. You could just send them your very best piece of content that you're most proud of, that you really want to impress them, make a great first impression with. Send that to them first. And then maybe the email after that will be your next piece of content and the next piece of content, et cetera, et cetera. Those are just a few ideas for an automated welcome sequence. I think that's very important. I think before you create any more freebies, you can spend a weekend just getting some of those initial emails out. Just start with one, get the automation built, keep it simple. Don't do a whole lot of tagging just yet or segmenting your audience. Just make it very simple. When anybody joins your email list, wait a couple of days. You can do that little time delay in every email platform and then send an email. that's it for now. You can make it more complicated later on. You can continue to add emails as you get them created, but start there and start that today. Now to actually answer Rachel's question, which if you already forgot, because I just rambled for 3 minutes, it was, hey, I just started this thing. I just have my email list. I actually have a freebie now, and some people are subscribing. Oh my goodness. Now what? What do I do? What do I send these people now? So I'm going to give you the very broad answer, and I think this will actually be helpful. And then I'm going to conclude with a little cheat. Okay. So I think you have two options. Number one would be to publish on your blog, or if you had a podcast, your podcast, or on your YouTube channel or whatever, and then just point people to that piece of content when it's published. For example, if you publish every week or every 2 weeks, write up a little email, extremely short and sweet, that points people to that blog post. And I'll tell you what to write right there in just a second. That's actually my cheat. That's one thing you could do. The other option for now, again, this is mostly for beginners, would be to just write content for an email. As in, you're not actually pointing to a blog post, or you can do both, by the way. But more so, you're actually making that email its own little piece of content. And this can be hard if you're blogging and you have a full-time job and you have kids and you don't really have hours every single week to, you know, write a blog post and then write a newsletter. So maybe not do this. But if you have a little bit more time, or you want to dedicate a little bit more time to writing a really great email with some personal updates and talking a little bit about a topic that will help them, well, then do that. But that's the two broad options you have. Do marketing, let the email be a marketing for a blog post, or create content right there for the email. Or, by the way, some combination of both. Now, to my cheat, I'm actually going to give a shout out to Liz Wilcox, who created 20-Minute Newsletter, which is actually sort of, it's not actually similar at all. It's the same point. It's a template, much like my one-hour blog post template, which is to help you produce content way faster. Liz's templates are on how to get that newsletter out in 20 minutes, how to do that fast. And she, I'm going to spoil some of it. Sorry, Liz. Part of it is starting with just a little personal update. It is actually important to let yourself, your story, your life shine through in your content. And the good news is this is generally really easy to write. So if you're struggling to figure out what to send that brand new email list, start with a little personal update. Here's what I've been doing. Here's what I've not been doing. My life's been crazy right now because of da 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 da. Or you know what? I was thinking the other day, da 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 da. Just give a small personal update. Just a few paragraphs. Don't, you know, yap their ear off like I do on this podcast. Just make it short and sweet. And then if you do have a blog post, or if you do have a piece of content that you're going to put in that email, some big points, whatever that is, just do like a one sentence transition. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It could just be like, now on to today's topic. I want to tell you about ABC or whatnot. A little personal update, a little transition, and then just tease the content if you're pointing them to a blog post. I wrote this. Here is what you're going to learn. Point A, point B, point C. Or you know what? After you read this post, I really think you'll have a great idea of da 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 da. Just tease the post. This is actually what I would recommend for you, Rachel, based on what you sent me. Send an email once a week or once every 2 weeks. There's no need to be every single week, per se. Just do a little bit of personal updates. Share a little bit of behind the scenes in your life, mainly as it pertains to your topic, but it could be, you know, unrelated. But then tie it into something that they care about with your topic. I don't know what that is in Rachel's case, but tie it around to something they care about as it pertains to your topic. There you go. I hope that was helpful, Rachel.
Hi, Pete. My name's Ollie Harris, and my website is thesporting.blog. Here's my question. What do you find, apart from email subscriptions and social media, is the best way to get repeat visitors to your website? We have a growing following, but 85% of the visits we get are new, and I would quite like to get people to come back, but I don't want to spam their inbox every day. Any ideas? Welcome. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ollie. So the short answer is any way that people can follow you. That's it. You mentioned email list. You mentioned social media. Well, that's the big two. That's the big two for my own business, for sure. Now, we'll come back to that. The only other thing I'll say about this, you have 85% new traffic, which is amazing. I would argue, where are they finding you? Google, Pinterest, any sort of other acquisition channel? This is really great. That's That's good. You have inbound. I'm assuming that's really fantastic. Now, one overarching strategy that's not very actionable right now, if you're listening to this voicemail, but something I want to keep in the back of your head and all of our heads, really, is to build a brand worth following. Here's what I mean by that. I used to talk to Glenn Alsop about this. Something that's big in SEO for the past year or two is actually branding. And I've done this. I don't know if you guys do this. I will Google something and I will scroll through the search results. I'm not looking at the titles. I'm looking at the domains. I am looking for the blogs, the websites that I know and trust. Even if I have to go to the second page, I will do that. I've done that before. I'll Google something. I'll go to the second page just to find that one website that I really know and trust. How interesting is that? So I think that the long answer to Ollie's question is to build a brand, a blog, a website worth coming back to. And that's not easy, and it takes a really long time. That's a non-answer, though. Let me get back to the main answer. You already know. You said email list. You said you didn't want to spam them every day. You shouldn't spam them other day, nor do I think you need to. But I do think you need to be You need to consistently contact. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. You need to consistently contact them. I would say once a week is fine. Some people even send 2 or 3 emails a week and get away with it. I personally don't most of the time just because I don't feel compelled to, but you could do that. I don't think you're actually spamming people. And if you are, they'll unsubscribe. I don't think very many people are going to get angry at you. And that's something you can't take personally. So if you want to send 3 emails a week, you should send 3 emails a week and don't think of it as spam unless you really are spamming people. But if you're not, if you're just pointing people to your website, I think that's probably okay. Just know that there's a trade-off. Some people will unsubscribe. It's the same thing from social media. If you're just spamming 30 tweets a day, which is something I used to do, no longer, with links to all of your content using a social media scheduler or whatnot, some people will unfollow you just because they don't want that. They see that, they're like, oh, I'm getting old. This is kind of spammy. Like, I don't want this. But some people click. And I think that's okay. There's a trade-off. There's a balance somewhere. You have to decide what you want. You might get a little bit more traffic, returning visitors, if you email people more often and you post more on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever it is, wherever it is that you post and people can follow you. But you might lose a few people along the way. I don't think it's actually necessary to do that. I don't actually think I would worry about returning visitors. Oh, I just completely went off on a tangent, didn't I? Now that I think about it, I wouldn't actually worry that much. I would worry because that's like an outcome, right? You have no control over that. You can do the best you can do. You can send emails, you can post on socials, and you can try to do good content. That's all you actually have control over. And so that's what I would focus on. Figuring out how often to email people, figuring out what your social media strategy is, Facebook page, Facebook group, Twitter, all of the above, lots of different places, one very specific page. You have to figure out what that is and how often you want to post and how you want to post to get people back to your blog. If you even want to do that, not really what social media is for after all. You just got some decisions to make. And the last part of that I mentioned a second ago is just creating the best possible content. I know it's a duh moment. Hashtag actionable Pete. Come on, give me the good tips. Well, I'm sorry, but that's it. People come back to your blog when it's good. People come back to your blog when you've given them a reason to follow you on Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever that is. When you've given them options to subscribe to your email list, right? We all have to have that first before you get any return visitors. You have to have something worth following. I know that's not an answer. That's not very hashtag actionable, but that's actually the truth. And that's actually the long-term strategy. Produce stuff so that people will follow you. Tell your own stories so that people will follow you. And the return of visitors, that comes as a byproduct. Sorry, I know that was an odd answer, but that's the best one I got.
Hey, Pete, it's Jen from everydayoldhouse.com. And here's my question. When you are writing about a topic that has several subtopics or steps, like, for example, for me, when I do a home improvement project and it has several main steps, I struggle to decide if I should create one long post or a series of shorter posts. And I'm curious, when you are in this scenario, how you go about deciding whether or not to create one long post or a series of shorter posts. What's kind of your criteria? What's your process? What should we be considering when we're going through this decision? And if you could touch upon how that could impact Google rankings, SEO, and keyword research, that would be much appreciated. Thank you so much.
What's up, Jen? One of my favorites, Online Impact member as well. So I'm glad you touched on SEO right there at the end, because that was actually going to be part of my answer. Part of my answer is, are you hardcore into SEO? Because that actually takes up like 75% of your decision-making process, in my opinion. That's just me being honest. Do I think you could get away? Let's do an example here, Jen. Let's say you could do a 10,000 word blog post that's a mega guide, home improvement, how to renovate your kitchen. I don't know if that's a good example or not. I have no idea. Or you could do 10 1,000 word articles, or you could do 5 2,000 word articles. A lot of this is going to come down to your SEO strategy for the keywords and topics and search intent phrases that you are trying to rank for, quite frankly. And if you're trying to rank for one of those big ones that is super difficult, how to renovate your kitchen, etc., it actually might be worth writing more for. And not just more for the sake of more, but more for the sake of being comprehensive and providing the most useful piece of content on one page so that your audience doesn't have to click anywhere else, right there. And whether that's 10,000 words or it's 5,000 words or whatever that is, just make sure you have what you need to have. Somebody searches in Google for XYZ. This article should solve their problems and then more. It needs to answer questions they weren't even sure they had after you answered their main point. That is the only, if you're focusing on SEO, that is the only decision in my head, at least. If I were writing a blog post, which I don't anymore, for Do You Even Blog, that is the one thing I would be considering. I wouldn't really think of it as, you know, is this one huge post or a few subtopics? I would think of it as, am I providing everything this person needs right here on this page, period. Now, sometimes you could think, actually, you know what? This subtopic is only somewhat related. I mean, it's kind of related. I'd probably talk maybe a few paragraphs, but maybe I could just do that as a little companion post to support the pillar post. If you want to get fancy, I can do that in a couple of weeks. Or, you know, I can write a separate post about that one. But this other subtopic right here is pretty mandatory, so I'm going to keep that one in there. And I would do that. So if you have a 10,000 word article that has 10 bullet points in your outline, I would be asking myself, which ones does this post need? Or, you know, even sort of need. If you get to some more than others, you're like, this could probably be a separate one. That's just a judgment call, and I don't have anything else for you. You just need to decide if you want to do that work. You could probably put it in, and it'd be fine. You could probably put it separate, and it'd be fine. But if it's any way necessary to be in that big article or to be in the main article for any given SEO keyword or phrase that you are trying to rank for, it has to be in there. That's my opinion. SEO. If you're not focusing on SEO, the answer is a little bit different, in which case I'll just dive into it for a second. If SEO is secondary or you're not super worried about, you know, ranking for some very specific thing, I actually think you have another decision, which is, how much time do I want to spend? For if you took 10 articles with 1,000 words each, that might be 10 different headlines you got to come up with. That might be 10 different featured images you have to do. That might be 10 different emails you have to send over 10 weeks. I don't know. It might actually save you a lot of time and energy to put it all right there in one post, right? That's a legitimate concern. Now, I'll go back to my real answer, which is SEO. If you're focusing on SEO, and especially when you have the keywords and the searches that you're writing for, the only decision, at least 90% of the decision, comes to what needs to be in this article. If that's 1,000 words, fine. If it's 10,000 words, fine. If it's anywhere in between, that's fine. But that is 90% of your decision-making content. Again, this is just my opinion. Some people might argue with me on this, which is fair. But that's what I'd be asking myself. What needs to be here? If you got 10 bullet points, go through each one and ask which one needs to be here. And if there's any that's like, this one could be whatever, well then, just choose. It's probably fine either way. But my guess is only 2 or 3 bullet points out of 10 on average would fall into that category. My guess is that 7-8 of those bullet points for any given blog post for all of you would probably fall into the category of like, yeah, this would actually be really useful for this search query or something like that. I hope you found that useful, Jen. All right. I think that's actually going to do it for today's voicemails. As always, you can always leave me a voicemail at doyouevenblog.com/voicemail. You click on the little button right there and talk it up. Hit me up with your questions or ideas or concerns. Throw anything my way. And please include your blog URL. We'd love to, you know, see what that is. And that's all I got. I hope you all have a lovely week. I'll see you next week on this podcast. Adios, Blog Tribe.